All right.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, we're back with the Flow podcast. It's technically called One Small Thing, but this section is all about the Flow course. We're here with the creator, Lisa and Kayling, and today we're going to be talking about going from what word you might use, resistance, to acceptance. So maybe we could just start off with a brief like overview of lesson three and kind of what we've learned so far.
Yeah. Hi, Kate. It's awesome to be here with you. So this is lesson three of the Flow course. The first four lessons are really about self-awareness, self-control, self-care, self-love. And that gets you to a place where you're feeling more love within yourself. So the first lesson was about awareness, going from being absent to being present. And that was the tool for that was the 4x4x4 breathing. The second lesson was analysis and going from being confused about your life and your role in it and what you want and who you are to being clear about who you are, what you want, and how you want to be and how you want to get to where you want to go. So the third step is now acceptance. So you become aware, right? Step one, you become aware, for example, that maybe, I mean, if things are perfect, then great. Like go, you don't even need the course, right? Like continue on. So you're becoming aware that there's something you don't like, something that you want to change that you weren't aware of. That's step one, lesson one. Step two, you start analyzing, you start looking at what is it? How did I get here? Right. Then step three now is acceptance, just accepting that you're in this place, accepting that maybe things aren't exactly the way you want them to be. It's not necessarily accepting that you're okay with it, but accepting that it exists, that something negative exists, maybe, and then accepting how you feel about it, right? That's huge. Not making your feelings wrong. So that's something we do a lot. Like, do I deserve to be angry? Do I deserve to be upset? I used to do this a lot for myself when I was a kid. You know, I would decide, well, why are you upset, Lisa? No, you don't have a right to be upset. Like nothing happened that should lead to your being upset. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, emotions aren't right or wrong. They just are. Like, I want to repeat that. Emotions are not right or wrong. They just are. And so just accepting your emotions as what they are is huge. And that's a huge part of step lesson three, acceptance.
There's a lot going on by me geographically. And so like, I don't really want to get super into it, but there's just a huge tragedy. You know, it's been all over the news and people have been reacting a lot of different ways. So I think just, you know, accepting it and moving on in a way that is most positive for my community.
Right.
It's been like hard.
Definitely right.
Been a hurdle.
So the irony about acceptance is you're not accepting that it's okay, right? When tragedy happens, when something really difficult, dark, challenging, negative happens, it's not that you're accepting it's okay. You're accepting that it exists and you're accepting that it's that you feel something about it. And the way you feel about it, you're accepting negative emotion about it. Maybe it's fear, maybe it's sadness, maybe it's grief. You're accepting that and allowing that energy to just be in you. And that alone is so incredibly powerful because emotion is energy in motion. And energy needs to move. And when you allow the energy to move through you, when you allow yourself to feel negative emotion, anger, grief, shame, anything, sadness, you allow yourself to process it and then you allow it to release. If you don't allow yourself to feel it and you deny it, diminish it, kind of keep it at bay, that irony is that it stays. It gets stuck in you, sometimes for days, weeks, months, years, decades, it can be. But if you allow it to move through you, and allow yourself to process it. Maybe you need to cry. Maybe you need to think about it. Maybe it will take some time, right? Depending on the level of the of the emotion, the level of the tragedy, the level of the event. It may take different amounts of time, but it will eventually move through you. And I just want to use the metaphor of a river, for example. Like, there's a river of your life that has a current to it, right? There's things happening in your life already. Every human has this. They have a trajectory of their life. They may not know what it is. They may not know what's coming. But if you look at your life, like, it's not static. There's always things happening. There's always things moving, right? In this direction or that direction. If you allow the water to move and you flow with it, if you accept the current of your life and you just kind of float downstream on the river, you can get to all the places downstream effortlessly. Whereas if you resist what is happening and you are not accepting it, it's like swimming upstream. You're paddling furiously, swimming furiously, and you're basically getting nowhere. We've all had moments like that, right? Where you feel like you're working so hard, and you step back and look, and you're like, wait a second, I haven't gotten anywhere. So in that case, sometimes the best thing to do is just to stop resisting and, you know, stop making so much effort. We have a culture where it's like people believe you have to stress, struggle, and sacrifice in order to get ahead. But there is another way. And I know this because I did the stress, struggle, and sacrifice way for many, many years. And it teaches you certain things, right? It teaches you focus. It teaches you intensity. It teaches you determination. And those are all excellent qualities. But you can take those qualities and do it another way through joy, ease, and flow and acceptance. And that's because effort is the energy required to overcome resistance. But when you remove resistance, no effort is required. You can just float on the current of your life downstream. And that allows you to actually transform energy. By accepting it, you're able to bring it in, you're able to work with it, you're able to transform it into what you want to create. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you have, this might be, you know, a dumb question, but you're talking about going from resistance to acceptance. What happens when you do get stuck? Like when you, like what do you do when you find it really hard to get to that like next step of like even thinking about moving on? Or yeah.
Okay. I have an example for this.
Awesome. So
we're in the process of a big life move. We're moving from Washington, DC area to Manila, Philippines. And we went out there once in June, and it's a completely different way of life, completely different culture, different city. I don't know hardly anyone out there. We're moving because of my husband's work. My work is I can do from anywhere. So I've accepted this move, and I'm wanting to do it. I'm up for the new adventure, but there's also a lot of fear, right? New culture, new whole life that I don't know about. Also, both my kids will be in university and I'll be an empty nester for the first time. So it's like a lot of unknowns and a lot of changes. And whenever I was thinking about my Manila life, I was feeling a certain way, and it was, I got clear about what I was feeling, right? So again, I'm going through these steps. Step one, awareness. I was aware that I was feeling certain ways about it. Then I was confused about what is exactly that feeling. Okay, then I got clear about it. Scared, and I put words to it. Scared, lonely, bored, and powerless. And each of those words related exactly to a feeling in my body. And so just finding the word that matched what I was feeling helped me so much to just have clarity about it, even though it was the negative side still. And then the next thing I did is I was like, okay. Because when I was feeling that, I was feeling powerless. And then I remembered, wait a second, Lisa, you are a powerful creator. You get to create what you want. Once I accepted, I was able to pivot into what do I want to create from that. And I came up with the exact opposite for me of what those four words are. And it was a feeling inside my body that has become now an anchor for me. So the opposite of scared to me was adventurous. I want to embrace the uncertainty and embrace the new adventure, new culture, new place, new people, all of that. This opposite of lonely was connected. You know, when I first go there, I won't know that many people, but I want to feel connected to myself and deeply like home in myself. The opposite of bored is fulfilled. And whatever projects I'm doing, whatever things I'm working on, I want to feel fulfilled by that. And then the opposite of powerless is powerful. So what do I want? Adventure. I want to feel adventurous, connected, fulfilled, and powerful. And I was like, damn, that feels good. Like even just saying those words, I know that I'm starting to create it. Just imagining that, like the words connect to a feeling, which then I feel in my body, and I start imagining myself in that location, feeling that way, I am starting to create it. That is the process. And then I start, and then what happens is that intention of wanting to feel that in that place then leads to action. And I can already see the different pieces of how to create that coming in. Like I then had a call with somebody and we are now going to create this thing together and we're working on it. And, you know, so the pieces of how to get that then come in. You don't have to know how. Everyone thinks you got to know how. No, the key is knowing what it is that you want. And in order to do that, you have to accept what you don't want. Just so if I tried to deny that I was feeling scared and just pretend, no, I'm not feeling scared, or I'm not going to be lonely or bored or whatever, I would have just pushed that energy away and I wouldn't be able to work with it. Whereas I just accepted, you know what? I am feeling scared. I am worried. And these feelings are very real. And I kind of sat with them. Like I literally brought them in and looked at them. Because normally we don't like to do that with negative emotion, right? We just kind of like to push it away. Yeah, like stay far away. You stay way over there and I'll stay over here and we'll just be fine. But actually, it's so ironic that is not fine. That they just grow. It's like small children, you know, clamoring for attention. If you push them away, they just cling. They like literally cling onto your leg, right? And they will not leave you alone. Where if you bend down, you give them a hug, and you look at them in the eye and you look at them and you talk to them and you reassure them. You're like, yes, I'm going to listen to you. Then, you know, they just kind of feel heard and then they just skip happily away on their own. And that's kind of what negative emotions do too, you know, because the same energy transforms into something else. It doesn't stay the same. Like the river of your life, if you resist the flow, you'll get this eddy and this like, it'll dam up the river and you'll get this massive like, depending on how much you get a massive lake, right? With no water flowing. And then, but if you just kind of allow it to keep flowing, you might get little eddies on the side, but then eventually they'll go back into the stream.
The more you let them sit and like push them away, the worse they're going to be. So it's best to just face them head on and figure out the root causes of them. And
do it in a way where, you know, like create the structure around yourself where you can do that, right? Create stillness, create a safe place, a safe space, have the support necessary where you can do that. You know, like I wouldn't go into this, you know, deep emotional dive, like when you're out at the mall or something, you know, create the space where you can be supported and you can kind of take a deeper dive and have time and space and energy to just process. It's really because when you don't process, when you don't give yourself that time and space to process these kind of things, they end up lingering and growing. And before you know it, they form the backdrop of your entire life and you're not even aware of it because you now think it's normal because you're so used to that being there, that doubt, that insecurity, and that, you know, disbelief in yourself, that sadness, that slight lonely, like whatever it is, you just think it's normal, right? And you don't even notice it's there. And it's really coloring your entire life. And you're wondering why you're not able to achieve your dreams. Well, that's partly why.
That's so powerful and important. I did have two questions, but I'll ask the first one first. Do you have any journaling kind of recommendations or ways that people could kind of put this to paper and work through this? I know writing things down really helps me sit with it and examine how I'm feeling. So just wondering if there's something people could do.
Yes, there is a wonderful exercise. This kind of blends lesson three and lesson four. I was going to save it for lesson four, but we'll start talking about it now because, I mean, and maybe this is the pre-exercise to get to this, because in terms of acceptance, I mean, it's not hard to accept all the positives, right? When we're talking about acceptance, we're usually talking about the negatives. It's harder to accept the negatives about yourself, about your emotions, about your thoughts, about your life, about your actions, about other people. And the irony is, you know, once you start accepting yourself and judging yourself less, guess what? You end up judging others a lot less. You end up accepting others a lot more. They feel it. And you just get along with people a lot better because you're not so judgmental, right? People can feel it when you're judgmental of them. And it comes from being judgmental of yourself. And the opposite is also true. When you're more accepting of yourself, when you're more loving towards yourself, you end up being more loving and accepting of others. So it improves all your relationships all around, both personal and professional. So one of the things I do is I have multiple journals, but the one that's relevant for this, I think, is something I just call my journal. It's not so structured, but it's just a place where I can just write whatever I think and whatever is bothering me. And sometimes I will ask myself questions and it'll kind of be like I'm having a conversation with the universe. Like, what do you want? So one of the questions I love is, what do you want me to know today? And then I'll just write as if the universe is talking to me. Sometimes I'll just write down whatever it is I'm thinking. And the process of writing is helping me to get clarity, because in order to write something down, you have to take it from a generalized kind of feeling, thought, mush into more specific words and sentences, and then paragraph that actually make sense. And so that whole process of just writing adds so much clarity. And then you're also honoring your thoughts, you're honoring your emotions, you're spending time and energy on what you think, which it's basically telling yourself, I'm important. My thoughts are important. My feelings are important, because we spend so much time reading and watching other stuff about other people and things that other people have, you know, created and made, TV, social media, et cetera. It's all made by other people. What about what's going on in here? So in the beginning, I would suggest just getting a journal and not having too much structure and just allowing yourself time and space to write whatever it is you're thinking, ask yourself some questions, and just be honest. Just write it all down, kind of like a stream of consciousness. And over time, what will happen is you'll start to see the dots connect. You'll be like, oh, I didn't know that was connected to this. And if you reread sometimes back in your journal, days, week, month, season, you'll be like, oh, wow. Way back then I was feeling this and then I wanted that. And now that's here. I created it. And you'll start to see the whole process of manifestation as it happens. Whereas just living your life, you don't really notice it because you're just in the moment.
I love that. I'm definitely going to be making a video to like encourage people. I've been doing our social media, and I have a really cute little journal prompt video for this month, all about like writing how you feel and then writing how you want to feel.
Yeah.
It's like super aesthetic. So I would love to do that for this as well. Like that'd be really cool. I was just curious personally, but hopefully.
Those two questions are so incredibly powerful. Like it's hard for me to even explain how revolutionary they are. Like they're two little, just seemingly really simple questions. How do you feel now? And how do you want to feel? The reason you're so revolutionary, and I'll just explain this briefly, is how do you feel now? Like, to answer that, honestly, first of all, you got to tune in. So that's step one, right? You got to build self-awareness because your focus is all out here. How does everyone else feel? What's going on out here? So to answer that question, you got to switch that camera of attention here. That alone is massive. Self-awareness. You're building self-awareness as you do that. How do I feel? And you have to kind of scan through your body. Be like, oh, are my shoulders tight? Is my belt, like, where do I feel it in my body, right? What do I feel? You have to put a word to it. You have to get clarity about it. And then to accept how you feel without judgment and just be like, as a fact, right? Instead of, well, it's not okay to feel this. No, now you're just, okay, I feel sad. Like, it's just a fact. As opposed to, no, I don't want to feel sad, or no, I can't feel sad, or I shouldn't. That's a good one. I used to do this all the time. I shouldn't feel X is very different than I do feel. Like, you're just accepting. Again, this is acceptance. And then how do I want to feel? Now you're into lesson four, which is, what do you want? And that, how do you want to feel, is then the basis of everything you're going to create. Then you can start to pivot.
That's awesome. Yeah, I know. I'll just quickly tell a little anecdote. Like, there are some mornings when I wake up and I just have no energy at all. And those are the moments when it's been most important for me to be like, how do I feel? And then I write it down. And yeah, I do start to, over time, realize it's okay to feel unmotivated.
Yeah.
And then I write things like, I just write the most extreme opposite. I'm like, I want to feel like an unstoppable force, like a golden ray of light, just the most like ridiculous, like,
yeah,
you know, what I want to be at my peak. And then I don't always get there every day, but like, I get moved forward from where I was. I get closer to how I want to feel just by like putting it to paper. So it really is a powerful exercise. I resort to it on my darkest day, and it really does help me get grounded. I think just any sort of exercise like that, where you're like, why do I feel this way? Getting to the root cause. And then, like you said earlier, even just picking the opposites of those things and then changing your trajectory, which is something you said as well. It just shifts your whole perspective on like.
The thing you're also doing is you're going from being just kind of, you're going from two different modes. So when you feel negative, when you feel exhausted, tired, you know, sad, depressed, you tend to feel a little bit powerless, and you kind of like sink into that powerlessness, right? And it's like, and you're almost like a victim, like you're just a victim of everything that's happening. You kind of lose your power. As soon as you say, how do I want to feel? You are getting your power back, because now you're stepping into creator mode. You're like, wait a second, I get to decide how I want to feel. Like, just to even ask yourself that question, that question did not come to me until I was 35, right? My whole childhood, no one ever taught me that I get to decide how I want to feel. How do I want to feel? Like, what question that is that even, right?
Yeah.
How do you want to, like, what the heck?
What, like, feelings?
You know,
my, like, feelings.
No one ever explained to me that I get to decide, or I have some power in choosing how I want to feel. Like, what?
And that's why I think it's so awesome what you're doing, because I think a lot of people, young people, go through all these struggles, and it's almost like having a cheat code of like talking to people who have been through so much, especially people like you who have achieved success and realized things about themselves. It like helps you. It shaves off like 10 years.
It does. It shaves off
stuff out. And it's like, it's cool that you're not like holding it to yourself. You're like sharing it, you know?
Yeah.
You're not like, well, I worked super hard to figure this out. Like, have fun. You're like, here's what I've learned. Have 10 years of your life back.
Yeah, I honestly, something happens when you're like pre 50, you're focused on like building it kind of for yourself, figuring it all out for yourself. And then somehow you tip to over 50, and you just, all you want to do is just share it with other people, because your whole like purpose shifts. And that's what I feel so strongly now. I have just this strong desire to just like share everything with everyone. But these steps, you know, it's really wonderful that we're talking about this, because as I talk about it with you, I'm like, okay, it's actually really simple, right? It's not complicated. It's just step one, step two, step three, like you, and it, a lot of it is just remembering, like I said before, you know, you're not actually learning really anything new through all of this. You're really just remembering that what you already know, which is that you are a powerful creator, and you do get to decide how you want to feel. And you do have the tools within you to choose.
Shifting gears just a little bit. Okay. My other question is, this is a loaded question, but does acceptance mean that you approve of something?
Great question. In short, no. Acceptance does not mean that you are approving of something external. I'm a lawyer, and lawyers are trained not to accept, right? I had a flow group with a bunch of women one time, and some of them were lawyers. And when I introduced this concept, they were like, what? Excuse me? Acceptance? No, you don't accept. Like, that's the last thing you do is accept, right? And I had to explain that we're not talking about accepting external things as right or wrong. It's not about the competition of right or wrong. We're accepting that they exist. And you're accepting that you feel a certain way about that existence. And that allows you, ironically, to then work with and then transform that energy into what you do want to have, what you do want to see happen in the world. Because the thing is, everything is energy, right? So the science behind it is that everything is energy. Like, we look like we're physical, but we're actually a mass of particles vibrating rapidly. So you have to think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So we're swimming in this energy soup. Everything is interacting with each other. Our words, our thoughts, our body, the desk, the wall, everything. And if you say that something doesn't exist when it is there, you cannot work with that energy. And energy cannot be created or destroyed, but it can be transformed. It's being transformed constantly, right? If you look at nature, wind energy is it's transformed into waves, which is, you know, which then crashes on the shore and it transforms the sand into rock, right? So light comes into the water, into the ocean, and it helps the algae and the phytoplankton to grow. It's energy is being transformed constantly. And if you deny that, you will not be able to work with it. So the big thing about acceptance is that you're accepting that something exists, you're accepting how you feel about it, and those two things allow you to then work with that energy and to transform it into what you want to have, both within yourself and out in the world.
And there's a name for this, right? You call it the arm technique. Like,
yes, right. So there's a little exercise. Right. There's a little exercise that I created to help me do this, because accept, release, move on is just a great little acronym, ARM. And I like to attach physical movements. So I'll just show you. So if you bring the energy in, accept, you're bringing the energy in, release around the shoulder, and then move on. And then the other side, accept, release, move on. And one of my karate students said, look, sensei, that forms a heart. So accept, release, move on, accept, release, move on. And it forms the shape heart. That's right. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Great, great little technique. You don't need to carry things with you forever. You can accept them, release them, and move on and transform them into what you want them to be.
Yeah. And then that kind of turns into just embracing life, right?
Right. That turns into embracing life, flowing with the current of your life, Everyone has things in their life that are unexpected, that seem unwanted. But those are the things that teach you the most. Those are the places where you grow the most. Those are the places where you become who you're meant to be. When you embrace that, you know, one of the things for me was even becoming a mother. First, I was a karate fighter. I was a warrior, right? And then I retired from competition, had Bodhi, had a kid. And all of a sudden, I've gone from like punching and kicking people furiously to like holding a baby. And all the things that made me a great fighter, it made me a terrible mother. And I had to kind of learn to embrace and accept just a whole different way of being. And it was a huge shift for me. But when I finally did, when I finally embraced motherhood, that's when this whole other world opened up of learning and growth through, you know, blending these two things together. So sometimes the most difficult things are the things that help you grow the most. And if you see life as happening for you instead of to you, and you look for the silver lining in everything, you look for the glass half full story in everything, and you really, like, sometimes you really have to hunt. But if you're open to that, life will end up feeling like much more of an ease and flow and less like a stress, struggle, and sacrifice over time.
Do you have any, I know it's like a lot of this is all advice, but do you have any like pieces of wisdom, motivational advice, anything extra you'd like to share just about anything we talked about today?
What I just said about everything happening for you, I think is a really practical way of putting acceptance into action. And one of the phrases that I've really embraced that has really helped me with that is, it's like a directive to myself, and it's to find joy in everything that I do. Even scrubbing the toilets, even dealing with shit, even dealing with the most painful, difficult things, like, find joy in everything that you do, even washing the dishes, even whatever the things are you don't like to do. Start with little things that you don't like to do, cleaning the kitty litter, like whatever it is you don't like to do, find joy in it. Really set that as a challenge for yourself. Just even today, one thing that you don't normally like to do, find joy in it. That is the practice of acceptance right there.
Awesome. What does that look like, finding joy in something?
Okay.
How do I find that?
I'll give an example, right? I used to not like doing the dishes. Something just very mundane, very simple, right? They're not my dishes. They're my kids' dishes. Like, why the heck am I doing the dishes, right? I want to be writing my book or whatever. And so I'd be like grumbling as I'm doing the dishes, like cursing out everybody in the house doing the dishes. And so my teacher said to me, like, find joy in everything you do. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to set myself a challenge, finding joy in doing the dishes. And so what I did is I adjusted the time that I do the dishes. I was like, I'm not going to do the dishes when I have this urge to, like, this great idea I need to write down, or this, you know, other creative project that is burning and I want to get out. I'm going to do the dishes when I am exhausted, when I'm tired of all of that, and I just need like a kind of mindless thing to do that is almost like a meditation and I don't need to think, right? And then I'm going to put on music and I'm going to run some warm water and I'm going to put on the gloves so my hands don't get all like scalded and whatever, like it's just easier to do them, and you know, and I'm going to enjoy it. And so I've got music, I'm enjoying doing this mindless task, I'm dancing while I'm doing the dishes, and I'm seeing the instant gratification of the dishes being dirty and the kitchen being dirty to being clean. I'm seeing how I have transformed something right there. And now, instead of it being this painful kind of experience or an experience that brings me down in some ways where I feel worse after, it's an experience that then lifts me up. So the same thing, the joy is not in the thing. The joy is in you, and you bring it to the thing. at some point I realized there's no difference between me doing yoga and feeling great and me cleaning the kitty litter. And like, I'm doing movements. Like, why should one be joyful and one not be joyful?
Yeah.
I'm the one who gets to decide and bring that energy into whatever it is I do. And some tasks, granted, feel a little bit more difficult than others, but the joy is not in the thing or the task. The joy is in you, and you bring it to the task and the thing.
We talked about everything.
I think so. That was great.
Like, yeah, science. We talked about what it is. We talked about some personal stories. The only other thing I can think of is like, if you've seen anyone else in your life put these techniques into practice. And I know we talked briefly about Bodhi.
Bodhi has really put these into practice. And he used, you know, over the years, he would come to me with, you know, like, I don't like doing this, or I don't like doing that, or why do I have to do this? And I would teach him this idea. Find joy in everything you do. And so now what he does is, if he has that feeling of, I don't like this, or I don't want to do this, he'll catch himself and he'll instantly start pivoting into like, okay, wait a second. How is this happening for me? Oh yeah. Okay. Okay. Then find joy in what I do. Okay. And then all of a sudden it becomes a different experience. And then the results of that are totally different. Right? Because if you're putting misery into what you're doing, what kind of results do you think you're going to get back? Well, everyone around you obviously is not going to enjoy being with you, first of all. And the energy you're going to get back is going to be at the same vibration you put out. So it's going to be at a very low vibration. Whereas you're putting joy into what you do, other people are going to love being around you. Then that opens up all these new possibilities and opportunities. And you're going to get back the same vibration you're putting out, which is a high vibration. So it absolutely changes. And if you do this with every, you know, start doing this with more and more things, guess what? Your life goes in a completely different direction. And this is one of the reasons why it looks like he's doing all these amazing things, right? That is just kind of happening. It's not just kind of happening. Like, he's literally putting into practice all of these principles that now for him are normal. So he doesn't even really, in a way, like, know what they are. Like, if you asked him, what are the five core principles that you're operating on? He'd be like, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Like, for him, it's just normal. It's normal to look at life that way. And that's what I wanted. I wanted all of this kind of thinking to just become so embedded within me that it's a new normal. And I don't really have to work at it, which is what happens over time. But it starts with just tiny, tiny little micro changes, I call them. The smallest little challenges, the smallest little changes that don't even seem like a thing, those you add up. If you do one of those every single day, oh my gosh, your whole life will change. Just watch. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be posting, by the time this is up, it will be on the Instagram and probably on the podcast as well. There's like this little audio daily exercise that Lisa recorded. So that's one thing you can do every day. But if you wanted to leave people with just like one thing to do, one micro step that they can take.
Okay. I would say this. When you feel resistance in you, like your muscles go, or you're like, oh no, I don't like that. Take a deep breath. Like, feel that. Become aware that you're feeling resistance. That you take a deep breath. Turn on acceptance. And just allow it to be. Just allow that resistance to be. You don't have to try and change it, but you don't push it away. And don't ignore it. Don't deny it. Diminish it, destroy it, delete it, just let it be. You don't have to try to change it either. You don't have to do anything. Just let it be. You'll see magic will happen because you're now just letting it be, which means you're accepting it. You're not saying it's right. You're not saying you want it forever. You're not saying anything. You're just letting it be. rather than trying to get rid of it. Like we spend so much of our life trying to run away from our own emotions. And just let it be.
For sure. Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. This has been great. Yeah, if you guys enjoyed the podcast, please like us and leave comments on Instagram and keep tuning in, because this is only going to get bigger. This is just the beginning.
And I'm going to record a 2-minute audio on that, on letting it be, so that people can just play it. And it'll take you through the breathing and then some of the words and the energy, so you can just kind of feel it. So if you do that every day, then you'll just become aware of whatever resistances are in your body, because they sometimes build up over time and it's not one particular thing. It's just like a generalized thing. And so then if you do that, say at the beginning of the day, middle of the day, end of the day, whatever, you'll start to notice the difference of resistance versus acceptance. And that just what that feels like in your body, which is huge.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Thanks, everyone.